Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour on this Friday edition. Today's October 2nd, 2015. Our guest tonight is Mr. John Little. His website is OmegaShock.com. That's OmegaShock.com. Also, EzekielsFire.com.
I just want to jump in here. Folks, you know, I want to thank you very much for your patience. And if you've been watching on the YouTube link tonight, we've been putting up pictures of the various degrees of completion of where we're broadcasting from. We had hoped to really broadcast in video tonight. However,
still in a shirt and ties.
Yeah, it's just it's taking a little bit longer than we anticipated, but I just want to say thank you. Thank you to everyone. Truly, this is a radio ministry. I believe it's a ministry. It's a radio program that you help build really from the ground up. And I know that another radio talk show host says that, but, I mean, truly, this is what you are helping build and helping get the word out, and we so appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you so
very
much.
Couldn't do it without you.
No.
Without the prayers, without the kind emails, without the support.
And you know the other thing, too, and before we bring John back, folks, you know, we do have people like Americans and companies like AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, HealthMasters.com, Survival401k.com that we've partnered up with, and they're great companies. And we urge you to support those companies. If you, for example, if you're looking for us, if you're looking to get out of the matrix with your IRA or 401k, contact Ross Powell at Survival401k.com. If you're looking for anything survival related, well, choose our go-to company. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Oh, and if you take supplements, if not, you should. Or if you want to learn more about issues about health, visit HealthMasters.com.
Especially in the day and age we live in where everything is poison.
Right. And certainly sign up for their free newsletter. You won't be sorry. Tell them you heard about them on the Hagman and Hagman Report. So just want to mention those people here as we wrap up our week Friday. And this weekend, we're going to be really putting the pedal to the metal, that is, and doing a lot of things. So Monday, don't miss Monday. Monday, we are going to come back, and you're going to see just a dramatic, dramatic change. And it's a change. It's a change, not for aesthetics, not just for sake of change, but a change so we can reach more people and we can use better tools and have tools that ordinarily, you know, well, we didn't have the opportunity to have before. And for that, again, we thank you. And I'm going to publicly thank JD, who's not in close proximity to us geographically. However, he's done so much. And I want to thank Eric, who is the man that you've seen in the videos, the video pictures. He's done so much. You think we pay these guys? Not much. Not much. So, thank you. A heartfelt thank you. And just a tremendous big heartfelt thank you to everyone who sent an email this week. We can't respond to all of them, but we read all of them. Just a thank you so much for those people who have reached out and said, hey, like what you're doing, or hey, like what you're doing, but can you change this or do that? It's okay. We like those. We learn from them. And I just want to say as well, you know, this weekend, when you're with your family. And by the way, if anything does break this weekend, check our website, because we very much could take, you know, put up a video, or take to BTR, or several options. But this weekend, do us a favor. Give your child, I don't care whether your child's 3 or 30, give them a hug. Tell your son or your daughter that you love them. And if you're a son or a daughter listening to this, tell your mom or dad, if they're still with you, that you love them. And same thing with husbands and wives. And say a prayer. Pray this weekend. Pray for... Just pray. Joe?
Absolutely. With that, let's bring on, bring back Mr. Little. And we have some, we were talking off air during the break about what we were going to get into this hour. And I'm going to turn it over to you, Mr. Little. And you said you wanted to talk about Iran. And we also have a listener question on the four demons in the River Euphrates mentioned in Revelation 9.
Okay. Well, I mean, that question is, that's my favorite answer to most questions is, I don't know. It's a fascinating idea that there might, I mean, not might, that there are demons underneath that river. And, you know, I always had the vision of trying to go in and dig out, you know, that river to try to find them or something. You know, I don't know. I really don't. It's a fascinating thing. It is, I mean, a third of men die. If I remember, let's see, what was it? It's 9:14. It says, saying to the, okay, that's actually verse 13 of chapter 9. It says, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. I mean... Well, and of course it goes on to say, and I saw that the horses in the vision and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And of course it kills a third part of the men by fire and by smoke and by brimstone. Now, some people have thought that that's like a 200 million, because that's what it is, 200 million. 200 million man army. And it's like tanks and rifles and guns and things like that. I guess it's possible. I know that many people have thought that China is this army. I guess that's possible. It's hard to say. Right now, China isn't interested in doing something like that. I mean, they have a very sort of, what's good for us, that's what we'll do. You know, one of the reasons why it was so kind of hard to believe that this Chinese aircraft carrier would be in the Mediterranean is because they're not really interested in that. They're interested in their agreement with Russia. I mean, they want to strengthen their alliance with Russia. But the Chinese are really interested in what's good for the Chinese. I mean, that's really, I mean, what was it, the phrase, all politics are local. So right now, as we see things right now, we don't see any possibility that the Chinese army or military is coming. But you know what? The thing is this. After Ezekiel's fire happens, after Gog and Magog comes, after all the things that are going to turn the world upside down, then we might see. I mean, and this is the thing that I actually tell a lot of people. After the financial collapse that is rolling down upon us, and for those of you who may not have been following my writing, I've been talking a lot about Martin Armstrong and his theory, or his, actually it's his observation, he doesn't even claim it to be his. He claims that he has discovered this cycle that happens every 3,140 days, 8.4 years, and he says that throughout, for thousands of years, there has been this 8.4 year cycle. and that the cycle turned on the September 30th, October 1st. So this was either Wednesday or Thursday. Now, it doesn't mean that everything falls apart on those days. After all, we're still talking. Everything's fine. On the surface. But there is going to be a downturn. And I'm looking forward to this because, after Martin Armstrong discovered this cycle, he has called every financial collapse that we've had since 1985. I think he called the 87 stock market collapse. So I'm looking forward to that happening. So after this financial collapse happens, we'll see a reorganization of the world. And we'll see better how Gog and Magog will come. And that's one of the, when I said I wanted to talk about Iran. Well, why do we want to talk about Iran? Because they are the easiest element to this vast army that we call Gog and Magog. The easiest to see. Because in Ezekiel 38 and 39, it describes this coming of this vast army that comes down to destroy Israel. That army, of course, we are called the coming of Gog and Magog. And it gives a list of all the other people that are involved in this alliance. And we have struggled with the identity of who Gog and Magog is. I mean, it's a strange name. We don't know who it is. Exactly. We have our theories. We have competing theories. Now, as I tell people, you will know who Gog and Magog is because they will be allied with Iran. So whoever it is going to be in a strong alliance with Iran. Right now, that's Russia. Now, if things change, if the financial collapse that we are about to go through changes the world in such a way that Russia falls and is no longer in a strong alliance with Iran, and that it's someone else, well, then we would call them that they are the best candidate for Gog and Magog. Okay? So this is why I believe that it's so important to be talking about Iran. Because they are the ones that we will use to identify Gog and Magog. Now, we can actually talk a little bit about why Iran is a good candidate for all this, partly because they are fascinated. I guess they've got a case of OCD about Jerusalem. I mean, they're fixated on Jerusalem. They must conquer Jerusalem. Not Mecca, not Saudi Arabia, not Iraq, not anyone else. Jerusalem. They are the ones. I mean, I've mentioned this previously, and by the way, I apologize whenever I keep repeating things because I keep repeating things. Jerusalem Day. There's every Ramadan that comes around, they have a Jerusalem Day, which is the last Friday of Ramadan. That Jerusalem Day comes because Ayatollah Khomeini, the first Ayatollah, he established Jerusalem Day because he wanted to make sure that every Muslim understood the consuming goal of capturing Jerusalem. So the last Friday of Ramadan is Jerusalem Day, and they pull out Israeli flags and they burn them. And they also chant death to Israel and death to America. So Jerusalem is a big deal for them. This is why when Israelis see Hezbollah or the Iranian Revolutionary Guard or the Quds Force or Jerusalem Force on their borders, they must attack them because it means that they're going to be attacking Israel. They've got to stop this. So again, when you want to know about the coming of Gog and Magog, you need to be looking at Iran. I don't care what theory you have, they have to have an alliance with Iran. Now, why is Gog and Magog important? Okay, because the next thing that's coming is the financial collapse. Now, what am I saying? I am saying what comes after this financial collapse is Gog and Magog. People are saying that Gog and Magog comes after the Antichrist comes, or during the time of the Antichrist. And I understand why they would say that, because Gog and Magog is mentioned in the book of Revelation. Okay? Now, but there's a little bit of a problem. And this is why when we were talking about reading the Bible and how you have to read it a little bit here and a little bit there and you have to see the whole thing together, when you read Ezekiel 38 and 39, and so as we are talking and as we're thinking about all these things, read Ezekiel 38 and 39, and then read, and I believe it's Revelation chapter 20, is that it? Is where they talk about Gog and Magog in... let's actually see if I can do that here. The Gog and Magog in Revelation, when is that? Well, actually, that Gog and Magog is after the millennium.
Yeah, after the 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 8.
Okay.
Is the reference in that you're referring to, and she'll go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And the reference before that is in Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Right. So when you look at the context, look at the description of what is in, you know, compare them carefully, and you will see something interesting. They're not the same. Now, the words Gog and Magog are they're very strange words. I mean, we know that Gog and Magog are people, sons of not sons of Noah. They are sons of Japheth, I think. Japhet. By the way, it's not Japheth; it's Japhet. By the way, which means beautiful. By the way, if you want to say something in Hebrew is beautiful, you say Yafeh. And so the three sons of Noah were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So Shem means name. Ham means, I guess it means warm. I haven't really thought too much about what that means. And Yafet means beautiful. So Doug, Joe, and myself, I guess we're beautiful. Sons of, anyway. So anyway, the thing is this. When you compare the Gog and Magog of Ezekiel 38 and 39 and the Gog and Magog of Revelation, you realize that they're two different things. And I believe that Ezekiel 38 and 39, it is not a coincidence that before Ezekiel 38 and 39 are the chapters 36 and 37. And I believe it's a progression. So I believe that what's connected to Gog and Magog is the salvation of Israel. In fact, actually, you can actually see that in, I think it is Ezekiel, it's in Ezekiel 39. I'm sorry here, I wasn't even thinking about talking about this.
Ezekiel 39:6 says, "And I will send a fire on Magog and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord."
And John, we kind of like it when we go where the Spirit leads us, the Holy Spirit leads us. So this is good.
Well, you'll notice that when I'm writing, and Friday is usually it's kind of a pressured day for me because I have a class that my wife and I teach, and I've got to get to the class, so I've got to get everything sent out before I leave, and it's always this pressured moment. And you'll notice that the title and even the introductory paragraph isn't always exactly the same as what I'm writing in the article. I sometimes look back and I go like, oh, wait a second, I should have changed all that. But yes, the thing is this. You're talking about really the salvation of Israel in the coming of Gog and Magog, yet in Revelation, it's the end of the world. I mean, everything is destroyed and made new again. So it's a strange kind of thing, but people get hung up. And I understand, by the way, I understand the struggle over this because the words Gog and Magog are very strange and unusual words. And so we automatically, when we see something strange and unusual, we automatically in our minds want to connect where any passage that we see it as if it's the same thing. It's not. Okay? And what as I'm saying is that as we see the financial crisis occur, as we see Syria fall apart in the destruction of Damascus, we're going to see the setup and coming of Gog and Magog. And as that happens, you know, then what will happen there is then this massive solar flare, which is Ezekiel's fire that I call. It's, but by the way, it's my name. You don't see it anywhere else except, well, Joe, just as you were reading, it's the fire that comes down upon Gog and Magog and those who dwell carelessly in the isles. And someone actually asked me what that was. I'm not completely certain, except my supposition is that it's North America, because North America is kind of like an island, or maybe North and South America. I would love to think that it's not, but what I want is not, doesn't have anything to do with it, with what is going to happen. So anyway, Gog and Magog is coming, and then after that, after this cleanup period, is going to come the Antichrist. In fact, my supposition, and again, this is what I think, I strongly encourage people to really sort of chew on this yourselves, read the Bible, pray, and ask God to guide you. Don't rely on what I'm saying. That is always a mistake. My wife can tell you how big a mistake that can be. The thing is, we're seeing a lot of technological things that are rising. We're seeing artificial intelligence. We're seeing an escalation and all these things coming about. Well, what would happen if we had a massive solar flare that kind of knocked everything back? It would really stop that progress. It's sort of like God's way of saying, hey, this far, no further. I've got something to do, so I'm going to swat you on the nose. I'm going to knock the dragon back, and I'm going to give time for Israel to become the people that I have promised that they would become, and then God would allow the Antichrist to come in. That's kind of my view of how things will come about. Unfortunately, I can't see how any other way this would all happen. I know that people have tried to sort of fit the salvation of Israel in various ways. Some people have tried to spiritualize the whole thing, to try to put the salvation of Israel during the tribulation, after the tribulation, during the millennium. But, you know, I think we have to really take and leave the Bible as it is. Why would we want to put the salvation of Israel, salvation of people that God says that he loves? I mean, they're unsaved now. I mean, right now the Jews are, you know, any Jew that dies will unfortunately go to a really bad place. I have a wonderful friend of mine. We became friends because I said he was going to hell. It's an interesting relationship. Daniel, if you're listening, all I can say is hi.
You know, John, I'll bet you're a real hit at parties. Just kidding.
Yes, I am right. But yeah, the thing is this. So, and there's another, and I kind of just, the last four, I guess it's four or five, the last four verses in the Bible scare me to death. And this is actually something that everybody needs to pay attention to. The last four verses in the Bible. And it says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book." He's talking about the book of Revelation. This is Revelation 22, verse 18 through 21. "If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Look, those verses 18 and 19, should scare all of us. It should really make us stop and think and say, wait a second. I will make sure to accept the Bible as it says, not try to twist it, not try to insert something into some other place, some other way. I understand, we're all wrestling with trying to understand. We're trying to understand where all this is going. We want to place ourselves within the context of the last days. We want to know what's going to come and how what our role is. But the thing is this, if we add or subtract, there is a price to pay for that, and I don't want anyone to pay it. I don't want myself to pay it.
John, let me just interject something here, because any time we talk about something, being fearful of something, as it relates to the Bible, people will say, well, we should not give in to the spirit of fear. We're talking, and I believe I can speak for you on this at least, we're talking about the fear of God. Not the fear, the fear of the Lord. Are we not? I mean, just I'm going to clear that up, because we are not to be given to a spirit of fear. But we should have a fear of God.
Absolutely. In fact, actually, the way I explain things, because there's a verse that says, love casteth out fear. Okay, so those that we love, we do not fear the person that we love. Look, we are divided beings. We have the Spirit of God, but we still have this sinful flesh. In fact, I so often pray to God that He would take that sinful part of me away and destroy it. I don't care if it destroys my mental capacity. I'd rather be an idiot but serve God well than be intelligent and be a sinful person. But the thing is, God has left us with this struggle. So the part that fears God is not this new man. I don't believe that, and again, this is my interpretation. Everybody else, you will need to understand this for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Please read your Bible. But my understanding is this. When God gave us this new man, this something special that even people in the Old Testament didn't really have, I don't really understand it. But it is this new man, this new being, this something anointed by God, that when Jesus said, you will be glad when I'm gone, because then I will send you the Comforter. It was something that no one had until after Jesus left. So when we have that special thing, that does not fear God, because it naturally follows God. It is not possible for this new man to sin against God, because it doesn't have any sin. We're given something pure and good. But at the same time, we have this physical, sinful body that looks at things it shouldn't look at. It hears things we shouldn't hear. It thinks about things we shouldn't think about. We struggle with that sinful man every day. And that man or that woman must fear God, because it is the only way we can keep it from overcoming our lives. And so when I talk about the fear of God, it is the natural man that must fear God, because it cannot love God. But the spiritual man loves God. And so our goal as Christians, as we seek to serve God, is to try to keep our physical man from keeping us from serving God. And as we study the Bible to understand what's happening, what's going on. And when I say the two scariest verses in the Bible, it is to say to our physical man, don't get in the way. Don't try to use your logic. Don't try to use natural man logic to understand the Bible. Use spiritual, anointed by the Holy Spirit, that person to understand the Bible. And so that's the thing that I'm speaking of. So when I speak of fear, I don't speak of I don't speak of a spirit of fear, like you said. I don't speak of being afraid. Like, for instance, I often will talk about the fear that we have as we look at the future. It's not the fear of losing our salvation. It's not the fear of being completely destroyed, it is that natural feeling that we all get when danger approaches. I mean, if we, for instance, if we don't have a fear of being run over by a bus, we're not going to look both ways when we cross the street. So there's always should be some element of fear so that we just act wisely. That's kind of what I talk about, what I mean when I talk about fear. I don't mean being afraid, this paralysis that happens when danger comes, that you know, just people can't even decide. I mean, I've had some people come to me and talk about some of these natural fears that they have as they contemplate the future, and I completely understand. I myself suffer from some of these same things. I mean, I sit there and I look at the future and I go like, it's hard to even understand what we are going to experience, especially when we're given the responsibility of preparing for what's coming. And I worry that I would tell someone to go the wrong direction, because what is good for me may not be good for someone else. So my fear also is that I would lead people in the wrong direction. But at the same time, and this is something I know that Joe and Doug, you also have the same problem. You are worried about telling people the wrong thing, that they would go in the wrong direction. But I have confidence that those who are listening to our conversation right now, if you are being led by the Holy Spirit, and if you have surrendered yourself to the direction of God, God will direct you. I have complete confidence. God has done that for me. Things have happened in my life that were and are complete miracles. I could never in a million years envision myself being here in Taipei, Taiwan. Literally, if someone 10 years ago said, John, you're going to be in Taipei, Taiwan, teaching Bible classes, I would have said, you're an idiot. But God's not an idiot. God knows exactly what he's doing, and I can honestly say that these are the best years of my life. I can honestly say these are the best years of my life, even though they're not always fun. And
you know,
it's
because
of God.
Yeah, and if I can interject this, it seems to me, John, God is moving people right now, actively, and really actively moving people. We are sitting in a studio that we never planned to be, where we never planned to be. God moved us here. I'm convinced of that, or is responsible for us moving. I've talked to so many people, so many watchmen, especially those watchmen who have been moved, especially lately, or who moved, and they said, you know, I didn't plan on moving. Things happened. And so I believe right now God is positioning his people into the listeners out there. I believe God will place you where he needs you to be or wants you to be for you to carry out your assignment, your mission that we all have. I just wanted to throw that in there because you're right. I mean, a year ago, if somebody said you would be sitting where we're sitting right now, we had no plans at all. But bang, we're here. So you, John, in Taiwan. I mean, who'd have thought of that?
Yeah. Not me, not anybody, not even my wife, by the way, who was born here. I was the one who dragged her here. She didn't exactly come kicking and screaming, but she wasn't sure she wanted to come back to Taiwan. And I said, no, you know, I, and she's sort of sitting over here. She's kind of ignoring me. in fact, she can hear me talk, but she's still. Anyway, but the thing is this. Yes,
hello, Mrs. Little. Hello, Mrs.
Yeah.
Little.
Yeah, she ignores me. It's a good thing. But look, the thing is this. God, you know, if you surrender to God, like, I have to keep telling myself this. God doesn't want you to suffer. He doesn't. I mean, he doesn't enjoy the suffering that you go through in this life. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to have your best life now. But he doesn't get any pleasure out of the difficulties you go through. But he has a job for all of us to do. And I, and if we'll just surrender to what God wants us to do, to dedicate our lives. I mean, look, if you really believe that Jesus died for you and gave his life so that you can have eternal life, he loved you that much, then, you know, if you really believe this stuff, if you really believe, do you really believe that you will go to heaven when you die? If you really believe that, if you really believe that there is a heaven, this life is short. I mean, I guess I was sort of like saying, you know, I've got good news and bad news. You're going to die. I mean, that's both good news and bad news. And if you die more quickly than you thought you were going to die, then that could be even better news because you're going to a good place. If you know that's where you're going, then that should consume your attention. Our goal in life is to get to heaven and in the process serve God who loved us so much that he sent his only son that he should die for us. People that hated him, and this is the other thing that I know that a lot of people have written to me. In fact, I get a lot of hate mail now. You know, about how awful the Jews are. Because
for our part that we did, our responsibility. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, we were just talking about the Jews and how awful they are. Yeah, a lot of awful Jews. Just really horrible, awful, stinking, rotten Jews. But I have news for you. You were awful, stinking, rotten, just as awful, stinking, and rotten before you were saved. We all, and I know myself, I remember that moment when I said to somebody that I hated God. This is before I was saved. I literally hated God. We all did. Every single one of us. Every single one of us was a Satanist before we were saved. We all were. But God saved us anyway. God loved us even though we were dirty, stinking, and rotten. Okay? So, if anyone wants to point the finger at anybody else how awful and dirty, stinking, and rotten they are, well, then just look at yourself in the mirror because you were too. So anyways, as I call people to return to that pure path of just goodness and light that God is, to open your Bible. I mean, you want to talk about, you know, you'd love to get an email from God. Well, it's sitting on your desk. It's your Bible. He wrote this for you. And in fact, sometimes when you read about, you know, how much of the Bible is about the last days, those last few years, quite a large bit of it. And, you know, those parts that are about those people that go through the last days, that's you. That is written for you. So if you want to see that bit of text in the Bible that is specifically for you, well, you know, read about the last days. Read the books of Isaiah through Malachi or Malachi. That's written for you. Revelation is written for you. And so I encourage all of us to really look at that, take it to heart, study it. It's alive. It's coming. I mean, I just think about this. Think of this. The River Nile is going to go dry. That's an amazing... The River Nile is going to go dry. Now, I don't know about you. Never been to the Nile. I know people that have been to the Nile. Got really sick doing it. Anyway, that's going to go dry. And I don't, it's just hard to imagine. But God said it would, and he didn't say that it was going to be a miracle. He said that the rivers leading to the Nile will be diverted. Well, that's happening. The Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that we would be living at a time while it's happening right now? The Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, the GERD. Do a search for it. GERD. That is being built as we speak. They're working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, no breaks. They are building that thing as quickly as they can. The River Nile is going to go dry. Amazing. What an amazing thought. You know, who'd have thought that Syria would collapse in the way that it's going, just in the right way, so that Isaiah 17 would be fulfilled? By the way, the Ethiopian, you know, the Nile River going dry is Isaiah 19. Who would have thought that Iran and Russia would have the alliance that they're having right now to try and defeat this rebel alliance being funded by, and I can't believe that they actually admitted it, Saudi Arabia and the Gulf Arabs. By the way, and here's another interesting thought, we had a recent expose, a recent letter written to the English newspapers or some such thing by a Saudi prince. And you might remember what I'm talking about. Apparently, the royal kingdom, the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, is having a teeny tiny bit of trouble at the top. King Salman, the person that I refer to as the fish king, isn't governing Saudi Arabia quite so well. And as oil starts to become a problem in Saudi Arabia, and they are saying, by the way, that oil exports from Saudi Arabia are in the decline because more and more Saudis are consuming oil. Kind of an interesting thing. Who would have thought that would happen? The fish king
about oil, I just want to say this. Think about, in the United States, the price of oil right now to the average consumer. In 2008, 9, and 10, where was the price? Why? How many people are talking about the price of oil? And who would have thought back in 08 it would be down to under $2.50 per gallon in most places? What's the reason for that? And the reason I contend, I'll assert, is it's an attack on our economy. You want to attack an economy. Now, that's the reverse of what most people might think. Low energy prices, we know, would make for a better, robust economy. And it's too complex to get into right now. I just want to throw that in there because I know people. I just want to throw that in there right now. And I sidetracked you, and I'm sorry, John. Go ahead.
No. Actually, that's a fantastic idea. Okay. I'm a recovering finance guy. Okay. I have one of those MBA things. I managed some investments in a small investment company in Jerusalem. I had my toes in the investment business for long enough to realize that it was horribly corrupt and I didn't want to really be in it any longer. The most important thing that people need to understand is everybody acts according to their own self-interest. Period.
It's human nature.
It is human nature. The Chinese, they care about Chinese. The Americans care about the Americans. Everybody cares about their own personal self-interest. Yes, they may have, you know, global goals. They may have group goals. But generally speaking, each individual piece within that group is looking out after their own personal self-interest. The only people that don't are Christians. And even they are looking out for their own self-interest, you might say, in a certain way. I mean, after all, if you want to be blessed by God, then you serve God, right? That there is an element of self-interest in our service to God. Even though we ultimately should be concerned more about just serving God without worrying about reward. So the point is this. What the Saudis are doing is motivated for their own personal self-interest. So as we see the fall in the price of oil, look carefully about who is making those decisions that cause the price of oil to go down and why. One of the reasons is Saudi Arabia has a budget problem. If they decrease their oil output, there goes their budget. Yes, even though the price of oil keeps going down, they still are trying to produce as much oil as they can because of their budget shortfalls. All of the Gulf Arabs are in that situation. Why? Because they kept making promises to their own people promises that they could only keep if the price of oil was at a certain level. So if they decrease their oil output, they're going to suffer. It's an interesting problem. Now, is there an element to an economic attack? Possibly. It's a little hard to find. I mean, it's a little hard to prove. Because you actually have to investigate the individual interest. And yes, I do believe that the Saudis do understand that they would love to drive shale oil out of business, as well as attack the Russian oil business. The cost of getting oil out of the ground in Russia is more expensive than that of Saudi Arabia. The cheapest oil in the world comes from the Persian Gulf area. So you're going to see
right.
a lot of that.
Lift costs, right. It has to do with lift costs, and correct.
Right. So, but if you want to see the wider picture, look at the transportation, the cost of transporting 40-foot and 20-foot containers. Look at the Baltic Dry Index. Look at that. When you see the cost of the amount of ships that are transporting, the amount of empty ships that are just sitting in these floating ship, really the groups of ships that are floating out at sea in the Atlantic and even in the Pacific, where the cost of shipping has gone down because there are fewer and fewer people that are actually shipping some of this stuff. The global economy is collapsing. Look at the commodities prices. The cost of copper. Copper is a huge indicator of where the global economy is going. Look at the cost of iron. Look at the iron shipments, cost of steel. All of those things indicate that the global economy is collapsing, which means that when the economy is collapsing, it means that we're going to be consuming less and less energy, less and less oil. So that's all a part of that. Now, as you look at that equation, think also a little bit as in at our ability to actually get oil. And this is where we get into these ideas of peak oil. Oftentimes when we think of peak oil, we think of high cost of oil. Yes, that's true. However, we also reach a point where we're unable to purchase the oil at a high cost, and so our economies tend to fall to the point where we can afford the oil. So really what's happening, it isn't that oil becomes more expensive. It means that our economies fall to the point where the price of oil reaches its natural level. It's an interesting kind of complex equation, and it can be a little hard to really process. There's Gail Tverberg, I think that's her name. She's an actuary, but she has done some fantastic analysis on oil. But that's a separate issue. But one of the things that actually people may not realize that yes, the Saudis are producing oil at the highest level they have ever produced, but they're not exporting at the highest rate that they've ever exported. They're actually exporting less than they did a few years ago, because they're consuming more of it themselves. And I think it was by 2030, they will be unable to export any oil. I think they will actually, the calculations are by 2030, all of Saudi oil will be consumed by the Saudis themselves, which is yet another interesting idea. And in fact, again, we started out discussing Syria. Why is this big battle going on in Syria right now? Natural gas pipelines. Okay? It has everything to do with hydrocarbons, hydrocarbon derivatives, energy. Pipelines to Europe. This is all because of that. And in a sense, I guess you would say it's all because of money. The love of money is the root of, well, it actually doesn't say all evils. It is the root of many evils. So as we go back, we always seem to go back to the original, where we started in terms of our conversation. it all comes back to the same thing. And I find all of that to be utterly fascinating, and it would be even better if so many people weren't going to die. That's really what it comes down to. Oh, and we haven't even talked about the Muslim migrants that are flooding into Europe. I completely forgot about that. We have,
and John,
waves.
We have 4 minutes left. Just to let you know, we only got four minutes.
4 minutes, but what an important subject. So hit it hard, John.
Take the last four.
Okay, everybody, read Matthew 24:7. I've actually picked it up as a new category on the website. Matthew 24:7. That is what is happening right now to Europe. The verse, Matthew 24, basically says it's Jesus speaking. He's talking about the last days. In fact, all of Matthew 24 is speaking of the last days. It says, nation shall rise against nation. What is that word, nation? It is ethnos. Ethnos will rise against ethnos. What is happening right now? We're having ethnic groups that are flooding, really by the hundreds of thousands, and in fact even millions, into Europe. And what are we seeing? We're seeing massive conflict, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. So look at the fulfillment of Matthew 24:7 as it happens in Europe. Watch how that goes. It is going to be amazing. And there is no group of people more suited for creating conflict than, and I'm sorry to say this, Islam. If it was Hindus, if it was Buddhists, if it was anybody else, it wouldn't be the same level of conflict. But because Islam, the character of Islam itself, they are ideally suited to be at the heart of the conflict that we're going to be seeing in Europe. And in fact, as we're looking at things right now, the issue of Jerusalem, it's about Islam. The Arab-Israeli conflict, it is a Islamic conflict. A lot of things that we're dealing with right now are Islamic. So a very complicated picture that we have painted for our listeners today. We started with Syria. We wove through Gog and Magog and eschatology, and we wound up talking about oil and then Matthew 24:7, but it's all a part of the same picture. And as we look at what's going to be happening in our neighborhoods in America, the places that are near and dear to our hearts, we're going to be seeing those things as well. And in fact, I fear the most for America because I don't believe that American society is really ready for the things that are going to be happening. So,
wow. And that is a good, very good point to end on.
John, thanks so much, John.
OmegaShock.com. That's OmegaShock.com.
And our Ezekielsfire.com also.
Yes, yes. All the way from Taiwan, where it's just a very early Saturday morning.
Yeah, what a way to start your day.
we really appreciate your time. Your time and of course, the gift of your time from your wife. Thank you so much. Thank your wife for her sacrifice for your time tonight. Really appreciate it, John.
And it really is a great honor, and I thank you, and I thank you, JD, for twisting my arm.
He had to twist your arm?
He had to twist my arm. JD is a great guy, really. So
he is.
Yeah.
And you know, again, it's a special thanks to all of our listeners. A special thanks to Global Star Radio Network. I mean, you know what,
JD,
folks?
Eric,
JD, you know, we're all in this together. Let's know that. I mean, we're all in this together.
We'll be back next week, Monday, 7 p.m., live on our new set, new video, new projectors. It will be fun. Till then, stay safe. Have
God
a great
weekend.
God bless
everyone.
God bless.
John, thanks so much. Good night, Eric.
Thank you.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.